All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm to the daily Mass readings. And today, of course, is Tuesday of the fourth week of Lent. And today we have Psalm 46. So Psalm 46 is from the sons of Korah. Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. It says that the ground opened and Korah and his family went down alive to Sheol and the abode of the dead. And then the ground covered him over. And then fire from heaven consumed 250 members of the Korahite tribe. And the only ones that survived were the sons of Korah. We see them in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. And the sons of Korah were not only, well, they were not the physical sons. They were those members who chose not to participate in the rebellion. And not only were they superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, they were also caretakers and custodians of the sacred vessels and vestments that were used in the worship of God. And Korah means baldness. And again, you can see all the names of the members of the musical guild of the Jewish temple in Numbers chapter and 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, right? That's 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22. And Psalm 46 is nestled between two readings today, the first reading being from the prophet Ezekiel. And it says, Ezekiel says, "The angel brought me to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the facade of the temple was toward the east, and water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar." All right, so just that verse, that opening verse in Ezekiel 47, is definitely an allegorical image of Jesus on the cross. So remember, Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and I rebuild it in 3 days." And of course, he was talking about the temple of his body. And so Jesus' body is hanging on the altar of the cross. We go back to Leviticus 17. It says, "I gave you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, because blood makes atonement by reason of the life." And so Jesus, of course, was pierced by Longinus on his right side. And so the blood from Jesus' side flowed out onto the altar of the cross. And so this image of Ezekiel seeing the water, and because water and blood flowed out from the side of Christ, right? And so that the water flowing out from the threshold of the temple, which is Christ's body, toward the east, and water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Again, the blood flowing, blood and water flowing from the side of Christ down the altar of the cross, you know, as part of the sign of our salvation. So I love that beautiful imagery here within the book of Ezekiel. He said, "He led me outside by the north gate and around the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side." So we see that in the Garden of Eden, water flowed out from the east and flowed out into the garden. And the saving stream of Christ's blood and water that flowed from his side flows out into the whole world to bring salvation. Of course, we enter into that saving stream by the sacrament of baptism that initiates us into the life of the faith, that restores the sanctifying grace that was lost in the fall, and which we all inherited when we were born. But that sanctifying grace is restored to us, that we God always intended for us to have, but was lost through the sin of our first parents. And that kind of that stain of original sin, that glass, if it were that is empty, if you will, you know, is filled to overflowing with the grace that we need to get to heaven, that's given to us in baptism, you know. So I love that, you know. So first it was ankle deep, and then he started wading in even further, a few more cubits, and it was up to his waist, and a few more cubits up to his chest, and you know, keep going. So that's our faith. You know, the more we travel into our faith, the deeper our relationship with the Lord gets, the closer we are to intimacy and love and communion with the living God. So love that imagery there in Ezekiel. The gospel continues to be from the Gospel of John. It says there was a great feast There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So again, it's probably for one of three of the feasts: the feast of Passover, or a feast of unleavened bread, the Pesach; the feast of Pentecost, or the feast of weeks, which was the wheat harvest, and in Hebrew that's Shavuot; or the feast of Tabernacles, or the feast of booths, which was the fruit harvest, and in Hebrew the Sukkot. So probably one of those three feasts that Jesus went up with his disciples, and we got to Jerusalem. He was at the Sheep Gate, a pool near Bethsaida, that had five porticos, and there were a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled, who was outside of that portico, outside of that gate, and there was one man in particular. It says that it was ill for 38 years, and Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for some time, and he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool." And what he means by that is this is kind of like Lourdes. The waters of Lourdes there, is a place where people go for miracle healings. And of course there's a building there in Lourdes where that houses all of the crutches and the wheelchairs and for people who receive miraculous healings there at the waters of Lourdes. And it was believed that back in the time of Christ that this pool of Bethsaida, where this water is, also had healing properties. And that's why a lot of the poor and the crippled and the lame were there. If they were able to get to the waters, they believed that, if it was God's will, they could be healed. And so that's why he says to Jesus, "Well, sir, there's no one here to put me into the pool." He says, "When the water is stirred up." So when the water is stirred up, they believe that was the Holy Spirit working to bring healing into this person's life. He goes, "While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." Right? Because of course he's ill and he's probably crippled, so he's not able to get down there in a timely manner. So Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up your mat and walk." And immediately the man became well, took up his mat and walked away. So Jesus, right, and there's a beautiful tie-in with the first reading, right, with Ezekiel showing that the saving stream that flows from Christ's side brings healing and conquers death. We see here again a foreshadowing of the healing ministry of Jesus, that water that would flow from his side. You don't need the water of a pool of Bethsaida. Jesus is the living water that flows down from heaven, to bring salvation to the world. And so this lame man gets a foretaste of the healing power of God by receiving a miracle, not with the water of Bethsaida, but the living water of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, this is the living water that he spoke about with the woman at the well. She asked him to give him this water so she doesn't have to return to the well. But of course, he wasn't talking about merely well water. He was talking about the water that springs forth from eternal life. And as he says in John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? And so we see also the utter indignation of the Pharisees, who said that it was complained to Jesus because he was healing on the Sabbath. Totally missed the point of him healing a man that was crippled, just worried about why he did it on the Sabbath. And of course, Psalm 46 said, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Oh, right.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.